Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Here's a special message from Briggs & Riley to every last-minute luggage packer, to those who hate packing around those annoying grooves in the bottom of your suitcase, to the challengers who try to cram a myriad of toothpaste, hairbrushes, and travel-sized shampoo bottles into the outer pockets. Many luggage has tried, and many have failed to accommodate the whim of the overzealous overpacker. Now there is a true sophisticated challenger. Briggs & Riley's perfect packing solution offers several casual, sophisticated collections that reflect the way we live and travel today. Their iconic outsider handle provides optimal capacity and flat packing inside. And only Briggs & Riley luggage has CX compression expansion technology, which increases capacity in the same size suitcase. The premium extra-wide garment panels help create additional compression to prevent shifting and wrinkling, so you can add more in a smaller space. And to the luggage handler who's extra hard on your luggage, Briggs & Riley will repair your luggage free of charge. No proof of purchase necessary. Clothes, waiters, and careless carriers, your match has been met. Visit Briggs-Riley.com for Briggs & Riley luggage.
All righty, fourth to final hour on a Wednesday, Zach Gelb Show. But where else on CBS Sports Radio? Coming up in 5 minutes, Pro Bowl linebacker, now with the Texans after being with the Chargers and the Raiders. He, of course, is Denzel Perriman. We'll get a little read on the Texans entering this season as finally there's some optimism around the Texans, where they had all these coaches the last 2 years that everyone knew were never going to last long, and David Culley and Lovie Smith, even though Lovie Smith has done some successful things in the NFL, getting the Bears to a Super Bowl all those years ago. But you never thought they were moving this thing forward. And then this past year at the draft, well, it starts off with getting D'Amico Ryans as a head coach, Mufasa, and bringing in a real leader and a guy that you could actually say, I don't know if he's going to work or not. Because making that transition from defense coordinator to head coach, it doesn't always go as smooth as you think. But this is a guy that Texans fans know very well, Texan legend, and wrapped up his career in Philadelphia and then joined the 49ers organization. This is a guy that you finally say, okay, they're trying to move this thing with an actual coach instead of guys that were just on the sideline and being placeholders until they felt like they were ready to advance this thing forward. And then at the draft, you take C.J. Stroud with the second overall pick. We'll see if it works, but that's your quarterback. And then, even though this may come back to hurt you next year, because of the fact that this could be a really good draft pick, your own first-round pick, you found a way to move up to go get the third overall pick in Will Anderson Jr., who some thought was the best player heading into this draft. So we'll chat in a few moments with Denzel Perriman about the state of the Texans. For the first time in a while, there's actually some positive things to be said about them. But before we get to Denzel Perriman, as we'll connect with him in a few moments, you know, I look at the 49ers, Hickey, and the 49ers are that team that have a great roster, and they've been so close, but I'm not going to pick them to go win a Super Bowl until they figure out their quarterback position. You look at two other teams, I don't want to say they're totally in 49ers territory, but they're starting to have a really good roster, and you still don't know what you're going to get at the quarterback spot. That's the Miami Dolphins and also the Washington Commanders. Where you look at the Dolphins, defensively, they have a lot of talent. I know Ramsey just got hurt, but you look especially at that defensive line. And on the offensive side of the ball, you have Mike McDaniel, right, the head coach, coming over from the 49ers. And you have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. Like, you got some serious talent on that team. Now, you have a quarterback who's very talented in Tua Tagovailoa, but we don't know if he's going to stay healthy. And then you look at the Commanders. I know that defense regressed big time last year, but you still got a ton of names on that defensive side of the ball. Whether it's Darren Payne, you have also Chase Young, who really has to be healthy and have a big year this upcoming season. You got Jonathan Allen. Like, you look at that Commanders defense, they got some serious names and some serious beef up front. When you go through Young, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat, they got pieces there. And then the offensive side of the ball, better offensive names than you would think. Terry McLaurin is a stud. All right, Terry McLaurin to me, Hickey, is the new Keenan Allen, where everyone goes, oh, he's the most underrated receiver in football. And Jahan Dotson had a really good rookie season. You still got Curtis Samuel, got Logan Thomas, the tight end. And you got two running backs that are good enough. And a running back by committee sport now in Brian Robinson Jr. and Antonio Gibson. But then you look at the quarterback and it's like, ugh. At first you want to wait for the quarterback. And now it's, oh, you got to build a roster. Like, Ron, you built the roster last year. You built the roster the last few years. This roster is good enough to go make the playoffs if you get average, above average quarterback play. So before we get to Denzel Perryman, and we'll connect with him in a few moments, I want to play you a little excerpt here of Ron Rivera talking to Kay Adams on the Up and Adams show. And this is it. This is who Ron Rivera is starting to say that he's seeing a few players in his quarterback in Sam Howell.
Is there a quarterback that you've been around that reminds you or Sam Howell reminds you of?
You know... He's got a little bit of Jim McMahon, a little bit of that gunslinger in him in terms of the arm.
Jim McMahon, woohoo!
I'm talking about the moxie and the
I like
arm,
no, okay? I like that. The swagger is kind of sort of what I think Jahan Dotson called it.
But he's a little bit quieter. You know what I'm saying? He's a little more reserved.
Yeah.
And that's probably one thing you'd love to see him do it. He's got great movement in the pocket. Reminds a little bit of Drew Brees. And again, I'm not comparing him to Drew Brees. I'm just saying he reminds me of Drew because
we're building like a transformer of different, like a Voltron of different people. Okay, what else has he got?
That way. And then he's got, it's hard to find the right kind of arm to compare it to because he's got a really live arm. He throws a good deep ball, very accurate underneath because he's got a quick release. So there's a lot of little things that he does well. And he's kind of his own unique person.
I can tell the players love him.
Yes, they do.
And that's part of that moxie.
And the thing that's interesting about him is how quickly he is to self-correct. You know, he knows when he made a mistake, and he usually doesn't repeat it. That's one of the things that we're trying to look for when we watch him on tape, make sure he didn't repeat a mistake and that he accepts the responsibility.
That's some serious praise from Ron Rivera. And remember, it wasn't that long ago. I know he had to go back to UNC, and then he fell to the fifth round. But we were talking about Sam Howell as a first-round pick, and in some places we're talking about him, Hickey, as the number one overall pick. So last year, small sample size at the end of the season. But now it's like you're going to be the guy there, and if you don't play well, then they'll quickly go to Jacoby Brissett after a few games. But I'm curious how we're talking about those three teams at the end of the year. Like, the 49ers have different expectations. But is Brock Purdy Cinderella, or is he going to continue to thrive in this system? Does Trey Lance eventually get in the mix of the 49ers? You look at the Dolphins. Will Tua be able to stay healthy? And then for the Commanders, can Sam Howell really be an above-average or even just an average quarterback? Because if he can manage the game, you have enough pieces there to contend for a playoff spot in the NFC.
I mean, like it last year, I know... You know, they faded at the end, but was it week 14, 15, whatever it was when they hosted the Giants on Sunday Night Football? Like, they had a chance to win that game and make the playoffs. And, you know, with that quarterback group they had last year. So, again, if you can just play average, maybe slightly below average, right on the door of the playoffs.
8-8-1 last year with basically no quarterback play that you could trust. So, it's right there for the taking. You know what? It would not surprise me if the Commanders and Giants swap this year, where the Giants go to fourth place in this division, the Commanders move up to third place. Because the Giants, that was a great coaching job last year, and that was a culture shift. And I think when you go from a terrible culture to a great culture, it changes rather quickly, and you could play better than what you actually are because it's just so much better than what the crap you were dealing with Joe Judge. But you look at the Giants, yeah, sure they have Saquon. Sure they have Darren Waller. They have Thomas on the offensive line. But it's not as if that offense is loaded with talent. And there's injury concerns with Saquon and Darren Waller. It would not surprise me if you see the Commanders bump up in that division. The Giants fall back and have a little bit of a sophomore slump under Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Two guys that I do really believe in. All righty, we got Denzel Perryman online. Let's get to a little first and goal and preview the Texans.
The NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have four downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, time to preview the Houston Texans, and we'll do so with a new outside linebacker for the organization. Used to play his ball with the Chargers and also the Raiders. Now in year number one with the Texans, that is a 2021 Pro Bowl linebacker. And that, of course, is Denzel Perriman, kind enough to join us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Denzel, appreciate the time. How you been?
Oh, man, thanks for having me, man. And I've been great, man. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing fantastic and appreciate you jumping on board with us. So the position you play, linebacker, clearly you get to learn a little bit from a great linebacker and your head football coach in D'Amico Ryans, who was an exceptional player in the NFL. How has that relationship been going with the new head football coach of the Texans?
Oh, man, it's been going great, man. And like you said, you know, you get to learn, I get to learn a lot, you know, from a great linebacker, man. Just the other day, we had, you know, a 5-minute break. And I remember, you know, we talked about, you know, a couple plays in practice, and, you know, he, you know, actually, you know, walked me through a couple, you know, techniques, you know, how I could be better. And, you know, every day, you know, it's not just me, you know, it's with every single guy, you know, on the team, you know, every moment that, you know, he has to coach us up, you know, he takes that moment and, you know, he takes the time to do it, man. And I love it. And I'm pretty sure the other guys on the team, you know, appreciate it also.
And he was a fantastic leader when he played for the Texans and also the Philadelphia Eagles. And we've seen what he's been able to do the last few years with the San Francisco 49ers. But you never know how that transition's going to be going from a player, a defensive coordinator, to a head coach. Just kind of take us through the vibe right now and the early impressions of this Texans squad.
Early impressions, man. I say, you know, everybody looks good in shorts, you know, but right now we're in pads and, you know, it's just, you know, putting it all together. Yeah, like you said, it's a new scheme. It's a new system, you know, for a lot of guys and, you know, a lot of players. You know, some of the guys, you know, did play in, you know, in the same system. But, you know, it's just, you know, getting that, you know, camaraderie together. You know, everybody just, you know, forming, getting on one page is, you know, what it's all about. And right now, you know, it's been real exciting, man. It's been exciting. You know, guys making, you know, plays on both sides of the ball. And, you know, a lot of the young guys are, you know, standing out and, you know, just – and ball players, man.
You've been in the NFL for a while now, since 2015. You've made a Pro Bowl going back to that great 2021 season. What type of year do you think you could have now joining the Houston Texans?
Man, I'm just trying to have a healthy year, man. You know, that's been, you know, my goal, you know, since I've been playing, you know, just to have a, you know, full healthy year. And just, you know, do my job, man, wherever they, you know, put me in, you know, whatever my role is, you know, on the team, just be the best player I can be. And, you know, you turn on the tape, you know what you're getting out of me, so.
Let's get to the next down. Denzel Perriman here with us. You were talking about some of the youngsters. Third overall pick, Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama. We know what he's capable of. What has stood out to you so far with Will Anderson Jr.?
Oh, man, Will, he plays angry, man. I ask him every day, like, you know, who made him mad? You know, it's like 7:30 in the morning, you know. He just has his look on his face, like, you know, he's just ready to go. But his physicality, you know, the his quickness, you know, his explosiveness, just, you know, this way he moves, man. He doesn't move like a rookie. And that's his focus, you know, the way he is on the film room and the way that he takes, you know, what he learns, you know, from individual period, you know, and carries it on to, you know, the team period is, it's really, like, incredible to watch.
I'll tell you, when I look at the defense, I see that secondary with Jimmy Ward, Jalen Petrie, Derek Singley Jr., you got Shaq Griffin as well. It looks like you got some serious players on the back end of this defense.
Man, it's a lot of playmakers, man, and in every position room, man, and that's what I love about, you know, this team overall, man. You know, each position group, you know, there's playmakers. You know, there's some, you know, some guys, you know, older and younger, you know, both play, you know, all playmakers in general. Like I said, man, they're just coming together. The older guys, you know, teaching, you know, the younger guys, and, you know, some of the younger guys, you know, teach the older guys, you know, some new things also.
Have you been able to learn anything from Will Anderson Jr.? Just wondering when you say even youngsters teach some old guys some things.
Man, just his motor, man. You know, I played with Thomas Davis, man. The Thomas Davis always said, man, you know, young guys, you know, they keep him going. And me being, you know, going on year nine, I feel that energy, man, you know. Just seeing somebody, you know, go every single play, you know, nonstop, you know, no matter how hot it is, you know, how tired it is, you know, he's going 1,000 miles per hour, you know, and that's this motivation, man.
Let's get to the next down. Denzel Perriman here with us from the Houston Texans. So in my business, all we do is talk, right? Head coaches and quarterbacks. We've already talked about your new head football coach in D'Amico Ryans. What has stood out with the second overall pick out of Ohio State, the quarterback in C.J. Stroud so far?
Man, just the way he carries himself, man. He is a rookie, but he doesn't carry himself like a rookie. He speaks up, like a pro, and he's back there competing, man. And under pressure, he's making great reads, but you got to come out to a practice, man, and watch it, man.
How would you describe his leadership skills?
His leadership skills, man, like I said, I mean, he calls up, when we, break down the team in the morning, he's a guy, giving, the words of encouragement, giving those words, get everybody right for practice. He's that guy. At the end of the practice, if coach doesn't call anybody up, he still, might be that guy, to say something. But, it's just natural for him.
Let's get to the final down. Denzel Perriman here with us. So, this football team was 3-13-1. Last year, you've been around the league and seen some good teams, seen some bad teams. What type of team do you think this Texans team could be, and how much of a stride they can make here?
Man, it's going to be a team to watch, man. And like I said, man, it's a new system. It's a new program for a lot of people. Right now, man, we're just putting it together, man, and just iron sharpening iron every day, man. We're just taking one step at a time. And, we're going to see, season opener, how this thing going to go.
We talked about C.J. Stroud. We've talked about Will Anderson Jr. You being new to this team and having to learn your other teammates, who have been some other guys that have really stood out to you or impressed you?
Man, a lot of them, man. I can start from the older guys, from, Jimmy Ward, to even going to the offensive side, to Robert Woods, Damian Pierce, LT, Titus Howard, and go back to the defensive side of the ball. I go back to, Jerry Hughes, Christian Kirksey, Christian Harris. I can give you, the whole roster, to be honest with you, man. Everybody's standing up to me. They're all new teammates, all new family members, all new brothers. And, we all just getting better, man.
Let me ask you about your old team in the Raiders. How would you describe playing for Josh McDaniels last year?
Man, it was new, just adjusting, to a new scheme, a new system, a new everything. And, he's a great coach. And, we every new coach on a new team, just rebuilding, that's what we were doing last year.
So you didn't sense any dysfunction, because a lot of people say that was a dysfunctional team last year.
Nah, man, I was just trying to, play on the field, man, and, stay healthy myself. So, man, that was last year, man. I'm focused on, the Houston Texans this year, man. And like I said, man, we just iron sharpening iron over here.
Last thing I'll ask you, I know you're a Hurricane, going to be year number two of Mario Cristobal. Are you optimistic that your Hurricanes are heading the right direction?
Hey, man, they make down there making changes also, man. I feel like everybody makes changes at their programs. But down there in Miami, man, they brought the right guy in. I mean, I'm not, saying that, other guys and they weren't the right guys, but Coach Cristobal, he's from Miami. Where to go and how to build a football team, man. So I'll be rooting for him, man. But like I said, I'm focused over here. What we got going on over here, man.
Well, Denzel Perriman, good luck on the move to the Texans and start a new chapter with them. And always appreciate when you carve out a few minutes for us.
All right, thank you, man. Thank you for having me, man.
9 out of 10 women feel pressured to conform to unspoken hair rules.
To fit in the picture, you have to change your hair.
Your curls are only acceptable if they're perfect.
I don't see anything that tells you to embrace your gray.
People show up with different hair. We should celebrate that.
Let's embrace the beauty of all hair. New Dove Love Your Hair collection is gentle and sulfate-free with customized skincare ingredients. To love your silver, love your waves, love your curls, love the hair that makes you, you.
And I think that's beautiful.
New Dove Love Your Hair.
Hey there, dog lovers. It's time to show your furry friend a little extra love and attention. After all, they're not just pets, they're family. At GetJoy, we provide top-of-the-line nutrition and wellness services to improve the lives of dogs and their families. GetJoy's dedicated team of animal science and vet nutritionists have expertly crafted their recipes to give your pup maximum health benefits. With options like gently cooked fresh meals, freeze-dried meals with pre, pro, and postbiotics for optimal gut health, and single-ingredient beef treats. Your best friend just got upgraded upgraded to a whole new level of pampering. And the best part? Get Joy's meals are made with wholesome ingredients right here in the USA with no fillers or artificial preservatives. Plus, when you subscribe to a Get Joy food plan, you'll be connected with a board-certified televet with services available 24/7. As a special offer to our listeners, visit getjoyfood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get a 50% off your first order today. That's getjoyfood.com and use the code PODCAST at checkout to get 50% off your first order.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Attention, sports fans! Your favorite sportsbook, BetUS.com, is back for our 29th year of football action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. We've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest slots, and our live dealers are waiting for you at the table. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS and get into the action. BetUS, where the game begins.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, I ate before the show today. I had some grilled shrimp and also broccoli. A lot of broccoli, too. But man, when you eat healthy and you try to limit the portions, too, I'm starving right now. And I know after this show, I'm going to eat something, but I'm going to try for it to not be gluttonous. Now, I need like a little small snack. That's what I need. Maybe go protein bar right before for bed, like a Clif Bar or something like that.
Clif Bar will do the job for you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a bad sweet tooth. And after this show,
I always
go for something sugary, which is never good.
What are your candies of options here?
I try to limit myself.
Candies, by the way, you know, you're really enjoying yourself. Hey, it's hot take hickey.
Trader Joe's has some sour fishes, basically, some sour animals. Sharks, fishes, starfish. Okay. Fish, I should say. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was bad job by me.
I said apologize
to the oceanic world. And they are delicious. So I've been kind of munching on them. Ice cream is always a go-to. Cookies.
See, you know what's obnoxious with you? You're one of those guys that are in shape, but I do feel that you eat really unhealthy.
I would disagree. I feel like I eat very healthy.
You have pasta every night.
I have oatmeal with blueberries for breakfast every day and coffee.
But
that's
you have pasta
healthy.
Every night.
Peanut like butter and jelly is good for you.
If I had pasta every night and then peanut butter and jelly with bread every day for lunch, I would be 600 pounds.
Whole wheat bread.
Doesn't matter. It's still bread.
Bread is not bad for you.
It's still bread.
There's this thought out there.
Being large. You don't.
I'll take a hamburger, no bun. No. The bun is fine.
But it adds a lot of weight to people.
I don't think four slices of whole wheat bread are going to make or break
it. I'm telling you, your metabolism really annoys me. Because I would love after the show to go, like, devour two slices of pizza. But if I do that, then I'm going to feel, like, terrible about myself. You know, this upcoming weekend, because, you know, I'm doing a good job, keeping the weight down, all that stuff, you know, chopping a bunch of pounds off. But in the weekends in the summer, I eat like a pig. So I got to make sure that I'm careful Monday through Friday, especially Saturday when I'm going to the Poconos and I'm going to my favorite wing place in the Barryville Hotel. I'm going to devour some Johnny Hots. It's going to be delicious. And I'm going to have wings the way that they're supposed to be made, on the bone, not this boneless wing crap that you pull off.
So that should at least help your cravings tonight of just thinking, okay, I got wings coming now in 3 days. The countdown is on 3 days. And then tomorrow night after the show, I got wings in 2 days.
Yeah.
When you're there Friday, basically, it's I got wings in a few hours. I'm good to go.
And then also, I put in a special request today for my guy, Johnny.
A special request. What is that?
I asked him to make sure that they got the ice cream chocolate peanut butter cake on the menu coming up on Saturday. And he said, consider it done. So I'm going to have a slice of that, too. We're going to have a fat weekend. So that's why tonight when I leave the show, I'll be like, all right, remember that time? You know, I'll have an apple tonight. That's the perfect, a little apple and peanut butter. And you know what I've been sampling now the last few days? I'm usually a traditional peanut butter guy.
Now, I know we disagree on the brand. I'm a Skippy guy. You do some other crap. But I usually like traditional peanut butter. I've been dipping the knife or the spoon as well into some almond butter. That's dessert peanut butter, by the way. That's not your traditional peanut butter, but almond butter is very good. Are you a fan of almond butter?
Not really.
Have you ever? Well, hold on. You've tried it.
Yes, my girlfriend loves almond butter.
Extensively? Okay.
Yes. It's okay. Not a big fan. It doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, but it's so tough to talk food with you because it's...
What do you mean? I'm the perfect guy to talk food with.
No, you're not. You don't try anything.
Like, if you want a dessert peanut butter, you go to Nutella. That's where you go.
Yeah, no, that's the first good food take you may have ever had on this show. That's a good food take by
first you. First of many, I would argue. But,
no, you don't expand your horizons at all. You're not willing to try things. You're the typical three-year-old that go, oh, that sucks, and then you never tried anything. Anyway, I want to try an exercise here with you, and this has nothing to do with food. If I'm talking about guys that are entering their second year in the NFL receivers, who are the first three names that come to mind? I'm going to put you on the spot, which I know that you hate when that does go down. But who are the second-year wide receivers, the three guys that you feel most confident about?
I would say Chris Olave. I would say Garrett Wilson.
Big of you there, the reigning offensive rookie of the year.
Oh, you said top of the head. Let's go. No thinking. I can't give you time to think and go deep here. And I will go... I know I'm not supposed to think Drake London, I guess. Drake London, yeah.
You can go Drake London if you want.
Top three receivers, right?
I would argue Christian Watson.
I meant taking the draft.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
George Pickens. Did you see what he said the other day?
See his play he made the other day?
Yeah, on Joey Porter
My
Jr.
Guy. JPJ. Right,
that's a Penn State guy, right?
Oh, of course. Ooh. Of course. A lockdown Penn State guy.
I don't know. It makes me wonder about the talent at Penn State.
That was good defense.
Something like that happens.
Great catch. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
There it is. There's my fandom right there. I showed you. I'll be fair. If a guy makes a great play, if he's on the other team, in this case, on the same
camp.
Team, but a non-Penn State player, I give credit. That was a great play by George Pickens.
Okay. You're already going to make an excuse for Joey Porter Jr. We know that.
No excuse. That was good defense. He made a better play. That happens. You tip the cap, and you hope you get him next time.
Did you read this article, though, that George Pickens, or where he got interviewed the other day, where he claims to be the best receiver because he's, like, the weirdest wide receiver, and there's so many things he could do that others can't do and all that?
Yeah, starting with his neck. You ever see that meme of George Pickens and the ski mask? I still can't believe that's real. Like, that looking at that and how that's an NFL wide receiver to me is truly... my mind is blown. I cannot believe. I still really don't believe that it's him, but just his neck, I guess, movement, if you will. Now he's able to put it down that low and kind of do a hunched over neck, kind of down into his chest cavity.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you have a flexible neck.
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I like to think I'm flexible.
The only reason I say that is because you're not out of shape because you are in shape. But I wouldn't say that like. You're jacked. Like, I'm not saying that you're a shrimp. You got muscles. But as Hickey's flexing right now, and he almost hurt his elbow there.
No, that's flexible. I'm showing you the muscles I got. Marco, you want to take a look? You want to take a look at the gun show, Marco? Yeah, take a look.
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
You get hurt, like, the most bizarre ways. Swimming, you had that whole finger injury where you were in a splint and you were crying. And then also, you almost just, I don't know what you just did to your elbow there when you were starting to flex. You're kind of clumsy.
The elbow was fine. I'm nowhere near a computer. Maybe the angle.
There's a computer right in front of you.
No, it's 5 feet away. I can't even reach it. I am honestly nowhere right now in danger's way.
All right. We also know Hickey's now a liar. But I will tell you, when you dressed up as The Rock this year with the turtleneck for Halloween, your neck looked jacked for some reason in the turtleneck. So I think you have a flexible neck, if I'm being honest with you.
I wish I could take credit. I'm going to say that's because of the double flap on the turtleneck. It was folded down. That's the style of the turtleneck these days. So I wish I could take credit, but it's more the fabric than the neck.
You stuff some padding in there too?
I don't want a big neck. It looks kind of weird. I'm meatheadish.
If it's proportional to your body, I think it's fine. If you just have a long neck and it's... If you're like... who's the Davis Mills
or giraffe neck?
Or who was the other? Was it David? Who's the guy I'm thinking of? Mike Glennon. He had a long neck.
Too. Another one. Both from the same tree.
That's like I know they're tall guys, but their necks did look awkward. But anyway, back to our second year wide receiver conversation. I'll run through a bunch of them: Chris Olave, expect to have a big year with the Saints. Double whammy in Green Bay, Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Pickens with the Steelers, he's their best wide receiver. And you know, like Colin Dunlap said this almost a year ago, there's going to eventually be an issue between Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. Garrett Wilson, the reigning rookie of the year, now gets an actual quarterback. Drake London, going to be relied on a lot for Desmond Ridder. Jameson Williams, I'm starting to get concerned about, Hickey. Now, I know you have the gambling suspension. You hear some concerns in training camp. Jameson Williams is either going to be a star or he's going to be a bust. I don't think there's any in-between with him, but he got in at the end of the year and he had that one big play right out of the gate too. He has really good speed. I'm just concerned that he's going to be a bust. And it's always, maybe it's just growing up, the Lions, I feel like, always drafted a wide receiver outside of Megatron. And all the wide receivers that they ended up taking, I felt like they usually did turn out to be busts, especially when they took them early on in the draft.
Yeah, there's some USC receivers did not pan out too well. They have swung and missed a lot. And look, get your head out of the gaming apps and the betting apps, and maybe Jameson Williams would be better than a bust.
Or maybe just go back to college and be the wide receiver coach at Iowa State. Kind of fit in there with all the gambling that's going on. Jahan Dotson. Lots going to be relied on him. He's the second best wide receiver on the Commanders. You know who needs to have a big year this year too? I don't think he's going to have a huge season. And also, pressure gets taken off with adding DeAndre Hopkins with adding him. Treylon Burks. You got rid of A.J. Brown and you drafted Treylon Burks. John Mechie going to be relied on with the Texans. Sky Moore with the Chiefs. Had a touchdown in the Super Bowl. He could be used in a nice little role there. And now the Patriots going to need someone to play wide receiver and have success. And Tyquan Thornton, if he can stay healthy, he has some speed. So I go through those names. You know, elite names. You're talking about like Garrett Wilson could have elite season again. Chris Olave as well. Pickens going to be relying on a lot with the Steelers. Watson, number one wide receiver there. This is a heck of a receiving class with guys that did well in year one. And there's some big expectations here in year number two.
I noticed an interesting omission from this list of year two wide receivers.
Oh, who did I miss?
Coincidence or not?
I know who. Plays for the Colts.
Alec Pierce.
Yeah.
A guy who's a deep ball specialist. One of the excelled and more polished areas of Anthony Richardson's game is the deep ball.
If he has the accuracy.
I just wonder. Well, accuracy in the deep ball is actually not his problem. So I wonder, just because maybe he's a Colt, is this a little bit of Patriots bias? Is this a little Ryan Hickey bias? This little anti-Alec Pierce bias?
So what's the prediction on Alec Pierce this year? Alec Pierce does what?
I'm going to say 650 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Okay, that's fair. What, he had 600 yards last year or something like that? Just a little bit below it?
I mean, I'm not going to connect on the deep ball every time. But that's kind of the guy that I think he'll be looking for a lot.
Yeah. Behind that offensive line that's overpaid and Jonathan Taylor's not going to be happy. You're right. Alec Pierce going to have a nice season at the Colts.
Jonathan Taylor's in play. All of a sudden, a lot more deep balls to Alec Pierce. Bigger breakout candidate. Watch out.
How many wins are you going for the Colts this year, by the way?
I've not done the win-loss. I mean, I'll say 4.
What's their over-under, do you know?
I think it was... I want to say 6.5. Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That sounds a little too high.
All righty. Let's do it right here real quickly. Over under here for the Colts season. So you just said 4, right?
Yeah, I said 4.
Now sometimes you just throw out a number, then you go through the schedule and it goes a different direction. So if you don't get to 4, it's fine, or if you go past 4, I won't crush you for it. Start off the season with the Jaguars.
Of course, win.
Game's not in Jacksonville.
I'm kidding. No. House of Horrors. That is a loss.
At the Texans.
I think they'll win that game. I'm not bought in on Tennessee. On Houston, sorry.
Okay. At Baltimore.
Loss.
Rams.
Loss.
Cooper Kupp now banged up. Tennessee.
Loss.
Oh, you hesitated there for a second. The old Hickey was in there somewhere. Only one win so far. Maybe this is a new Hickey. Or he's intentionally mushing them, saying, I'm going to pick them to be horrible, and then they're going to go get 8 or 9 wins.
Wins in 2023 for the Colts to tell right now do not matter. Do not matter whatsoever.
Okay. At Jacksonville, yeah. Wins don't matter.
That's a guaranteed loss.
Cleveland.
Loss. Oh, you know why that's a loss? That's the game they're wearing those ugly uniforms. Oh.
Okay. Saints.
Ooh. Where's that game?
Saints. It's a home game for the Colts.
I'm going to go win. I feel a weird feeling about that one. I'll go win.
At Carolina.
Revenge game. I'll say Frank Reich gets revenge. Loss for the Colts.
And Bryce Young, you know, is going to go off and just torment you. That's a 5-touchdown game for Bryce Young.
I hope not.
Patriots now. In Germany, right?
In Germany.
We going? Company sending us? Mark just laughed.
What do you think the time difference is there? 6 hours ahead, so that's like a midnight show? Yeah, let's do it. Overnight show. Come on. I will say win for the Pats.
Wow. Look at this guy. Only 2 wins so far going into week 11, which is a bye week, which the Colts could lose a bye week.
All right, there's a third win.
Jim Irsay could definitely lose a bye week. Tampa Bay.
Loss.
Hey, you better pick a loss with how much you've been hyping up Baker Mayfield. At Tennessee.
Loss.
At the Bengals.
I'm rethinking the Tennessee thing, but Bengals is a loss.
Oh, I was going to say, what's the hesitation?
I may want to circle back on. I will say a win for the Colts.
Wow. Shocked by that one.
Too much hype for Pittsburgh.
At the Falcons.
Win.
Man. You got 4 wins right now. You start piling up these wins at the end of the season.
Don't let them get hot.
Goodbye to that good draft pick.
Goodbye, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Raiders.
Oh, I mean, that's a guaranteed win. That's honestly the 17 games, easiest one on the schedule.
You're wrong on that, but okay. And then finally, the Texans.
I guess loss.
Yeah, because you're going to split.
I mean,
so five wins right there, and that's being as pessimistic as Hickey could be. Now, if you have 5 wins, let's say it's 3, and you're picking 1 in the draft. Do they do the goodbye to Anthony Richardson after 1 year and draft Caleb Williams?
Yes, without a doubt. Without a doubt. No hesitation. You don't have to even start the timer, Roger Goodell. Before you have the 10 minutes start ticking down, there's a card. Colts draft Caleb Williams, number 1. Let's go.
But I thought if Anthony Richardson, according to you, reached his potential, he could be the best quarterback in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And you're ready to give up on him after 1 year.
Long way to go. And this is a much more polished prospect who's getting comparisons to Patrick Mahomes. I'll take the chance on that.
Please note, Hickey doesn't actually believe in Anthony Richardson. And then finally, what happens if it's 2? You have the 2nd pick in the draft.
Just as good.
Drake May, do you go?
No, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay. I just don't want the Colts to get Marvin Harrison
Jr. Oh, I do.
Because I want to root for Marvin Harrison Jr., but I won't root for him if Hickey's going to have to root for him.
I can't
wait.
It's
going to be insufferable. Oh, you know what? If you're going to get him, I need him to just light up Penn State this year. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Light them up like they're a Christmas tree. We'll come on back to the closing bell. Standing by with the latest CBS Sports Radio update. A man that does not ask for free things. All righty? He's not like some other update anchors around here that ask for a bunch of free things and then come on in. I got to thank this person on the air. That's what happened. You weren't out on Monday, right?
I was in the afternoon.
So you were in earlier. When Peter Schwartz is filling in, he like barges on in. I got to talk on the air and thank Boomer on our network for getting him a Joe Klecko jersey and then tickets to the Hall of Fame game for him and his family that he begged him for. I was missing you on Monday in the afternoon. Oh, I mean in the evening. You were here in the afternoon.
All right. I was unaware of all this.
Yeah. I will also say, I've realized one thing with Marco. Marco's never afraid to trash people, but when it comes to the bond between the update anchors, Marco just lets that be if I ever bring up an update anchor.
No, that's not. I don't think that's fair. I think it's more of whoever works here. I do feel like there are times where we all kind of joke with each other. We kind of mess around. But when you actually go at someone that you are colleague with, if it's in jest, I'm all for it. Yeah. When it's not, then no. I have an issue with that because we are all teammates. Gotcha. I do believe in that.
That's why I call Marco Belletti El Capitan, and that's why he's the real locker room leader. Now, I'll just give you this nugget. The guy that left CBS Sports Radio down the hall, Mraz, he saw me in the hallway. This was about 2 days ago. And he goes, oh, what are you doing out in the hallway? I go, just trying to be a good locker room leader, because that's what he would always used to say. And he goes, oh, okay. And I go, this is why you weren't a good locker room leader. He goes, F that place. It's dead to me.
Yeah. Well,
I go, that's why Marco's our leader. And you weren't when you were here.
That's not a surprise, though. he would have said that when he was still here. Yeah. That's the difference.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
We had a no-hitter last night in Major League Baseball, and what a day it was if you're a fan of the Houston Astros. Not only do you reacquire Justin Verlander, but then, oh yeah, by the way, your team, who I think is going to the World Series once again. I don't think they're going to win it this year, but I think they'll get there with how open the AL is. I will trust the Astros until they come up short. And then Framber Valdez throws a no-no. This is Robert Ford, courtesy of the Astros Radio Network.
Here's the 0-2 to Gallagher. Broken bat, soft liner. Pena catches it, and a no-hitter from Framber Valdez. First one to greet him is Maldonado, and the rest of his teammates pile on. Framber Valdez throws the 16th no-hitter in Houston Astros history.
So according to ESPN, Framber Valdez in just 93 pitches with the no-no, making it the third fewest pitches in a no-hitter or perfect game since 1988. According to research by ESPN, Darrell Kyle needed 83 pitches for his no-no in 1990, and David Cohn threw 88 in his no-hitter in 1999. And the no-hitter is the third in the majors this season. Domingo Germán had one against the A's, and Matt Manning and a combination of Alex Lang, Jason Foley of the Tigers just a little while ago threw a combined no-no against Toronto. That was back in July on July 8th. So give Framber Valdez a stock up. By the way, I just mentioned Domingo Germán's name. It's not easy, but it's a necessary step to admit that you need help. And if you missed this, Domingo Germán, who early in the season had an improbable no-hitter, he has agreed today to voluntarily submit to an inpatient treatment for alcohol abuse. He will be placed on the restricted list for the time that he's away from the club, according to the Yankees, and it's critical that Domingo completely focus on addressing his health and well-being. We respect his privacy as he begins this process. I want to give a stock up to Domingo Germán. Hickey, you can hit it. That's not an easy thing to do. To leave a team, I know CeCe Sabathia did it, and say, I need to focus on myself. I need help. And that's what happened here with Domingo Germán. And sometimes when you say you need help, you wonder, like, oh, people are going to say I'm weak and things like that. It's okay to say that you need help, and I'm glad that Domingo Germán is courageous enough to say, okay, I'm going to go get that help. And finally, I have one stock down today, and that's to the Pac-12. You already had Colorado leaving. You know that you have USC and UCLA leaving as well. Now you have the Big Ten that is exploring, adding Washington, Oregon, Cal, Stanford. We'll see how many they take. Arizona maybe going to the Big 12. We always thought it was going to be the Big 12 that was going to fold. The Big 12 looks like it's going to be able to hold itself together for a little bit and give credit to Brett Yormark, the new commissioner. But the Pac-12 is going to eventually just fold and go away. So give a stock down to the Pac-12. Alrighty, that's the closing bell. And that is a short edition of the closing bell right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to RJ Choppy for joining us earlier in the program. And he talked about how retirement is not off the table for one Zach Martin. He does not think Jerry Jones is going to give him a new contract. And a big thank you to Denzel Perriman from the Texans, the Pro Bowl linebacker back in 2021 with the Raiders, for joining us about 50 minutes or so ago. Big thanks to Hot Tickety as well, each and every one of you. And we'll be back tomorrow for a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. All righty, we out. Bye-bye.
Peace! This is it. It's what you've been waiting for.
Billions returns to bring us the most epic showdown yet to a brand new streaming home on Paramount Plus.
We're back, baby!
We've got a fantastic story this season.
Buckle up. Bobby's back.
We're bringing the fight to Axe.
Everyone gets caught in the crossfire.
There's exciting stuff coming.
And now that Axe is coming back, the final showdown can begin.
This is the Good News Express Flammable.
Return to the all-access world of the rich and powerful. Don't miss new episodes of Billions, streaming August 4th on the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.